Blog Talk Radio.
The way you shine, so black, so beautiful. From the depths of the Sahara, travel to Kilimanjaro. Ancient mathematics, they forgot you're the land of the pharaohs. Plus you birthed us all, nobody can deny. Most of the men that said they loved you only robbed you blind. Switch bank accounts, they're hiding all your funds. Instead of education, they patiently give the children guns. So while I write you this letter, I need some clarity. People think that Africa's synonymous to charity. All the while I wonder how you keep a smile on your face. Sun is still shining, reminding me of your warm embrace. Say hello to my fam, promise it won't be long. Signing off, sincerely yours is the latest son.
Good evening, and welcome to a special edition of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. First of all, I just want to say thank you to all the listeners. Really appreciate all your support. Past 600,000 downloads of the podcast. Could not have done that without you. Thank you, thank you, and thank you. I hope that you've learned something and shared with friends and family. Well, you just heard Dear Africa from Blitz the Ambassador's album, Native Son, and I have him on the line right now. Good evening, Blitz.
Good evening.
Oh, I have a surprise for him, and I told him. So let me start off with the surprise. He doesn't know what it is, but it's a surprise. So my first thing is Majo and Wodin de Sen.
Word. I see you've done your homework a little. Majo and Wodin de Blitz, the ambassador, Mifri Ghana, and the woman of Ghana. Yeah, I'm going to stop over there because I may just start confusing you. You don't want that.
No. Okay, just to tell the audience, let them in on the little secret here. I just spoke to him in Twi, which is a language spoken in Ghana. He's fluent in it, so I said, let me, you know, try to, like, impress him a little bit. And I said good evening to him and asked him what his name was. So that's and you replied, you told me your name, but did you say something else?
Yes, I said I'm my name is Blitz and I'm from Ghana.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm going to keep going, like pretty much continue the interview in Chi, but I just have to stop.
No, you have a whole silent partner on one side of the. Well, thank you so much for, you know, agreeing to do the interview tonight. I want to mention that Rolling Stone called you the future of African music. And Native Son is your second album. Your first album was Stereotype. And what caught my eye recently was a press release about you that you won the Vilsack Foundation Award. They help raise public awareness about the contributions of immigrants to the sciences, arts, and culture in the United States. So let's start off with that. How did you – did somebody nominate you? You nominated yourself? What was the process in getting that award?
Well, I heard about it. I heard about the Vilsack Prize while I was actually on tour. And, I got a series of emails that were like, you know, you'll be perfect for this. So I just, you know, threw my hat in the ring, you know, not really expecting much. I mean, I know that there are, you know, thousands, if not millions of immigrants in this country that are, you know, contributing greatly in the arts and sciences. So I really wasn't expecting much. I mean, I was just, you know, privileged to know about it and to know that something like this exists in this country because it's a beautiful thing. This doesn't happen in a lot of places where immigrant contributions are recognized. So when I got the call that I'd won it, man, that was a big surprise and a true honor.
Yeah, well, it's a wonderful thing. I mean, we all need money. We all need to be recognized for our talents. We all need the support of our community from a spiritual sense, from a vocal sense, you know, to support us. So, like, hey, we know we're on the right path. We're doing the right thing. So So this is great. Let me just mention that their web address is vilcek.org. Again, vilcek.org, the Vilsack Foundation. So congratulations, again, on winning that. And I'm sure that it will just push you even further up the stratosphere. The first song I just played was Dear Africa. And in the song, I mentioned to you, I wanted to talk about this issue of Africa being synonymous with charity. And in our minds, in American minds, I know I speak for myself and others, they think of Africa, they think, you know, poor and dirt roads and poverty and, you know, HIV, AIDS and war and strife. But there's so many sides to Africa. The continent is not a country, it's a continent. Let's talk about that. Some people feel like Africa doesn't need any more charity, wants to stop the charity. I mean, I'm talking about Africans when I say that. What's your opinion about that?
Well, I think there's a place for charity in every society. In the American society, I'm sure there are a lot of people who are jobless, who are HIV stricken, who, pretty much can't feed themselves. So this is a thing that exists in every society as far as I'm concerned. Traveling around, I've seen this to be true. The challenge is when your entire brand as a continent is distinct, then it's very limiting for the people that come out of there, because first you have to fight that notion and then prove yourself. And, I mean, this is where the Vilsack Prize is significant, because, you know, it helps these conversations be had, and it helps, you know, some kind of dialogue and discourse around perceptions of Africa. I mean, what's ironic, however, you know, and when you do a little research, is how this charity game, because I call it a game, some of it is in the right place, and so there's not a sweeping indictment, you understand, but there are a lot of people engaged in this game where the governments actively go in, deplete the resources of these countries, and then the societies where they're from are so well-to-do that the number one thing that they engage in is the charity business, because now the companies that are headquartered in, say, The Hague or Switzerland, I mean, wherever, you know, in the West.
They take advantage of that.
The societies do so well that now they have this abundance that they come back and they throw pennies and they throw food out of cargo planes, forgetting that their governments cause these problems. And sometimes it's private business and such, but the reality is that it's high time, and we're in a society where information supposedly flows freely, and people should start recognizing the connection between how they live overseas and this crippling phenom that has kind of been branded as an African problem.
Yeah, well, I agree with you, and I think that I had a guest on here. She's a journalist, and she did a book called The Crisis Caravan, and it talks about how actually charity is a business in and of itself, just like you mentioned, and that charities are, instead of focusing on helping people develop, maybe develop skills so they can have businesses and take care of their family and so on and so forth, they are competing against each other to get money just to continue the charity instead of actually providing a solution. Because, I mean, in this day and age, there's no reason that there are no roads or that people don't have medicine or the right medicine, that people can't get health care. I mean, it's absolutely incomprehensible in my mind in 2013 that people are struggling for food in countries where there are so many natural resources, but like you said, they've been stripped.
Absolutely, so. And a true nonprofit charity's true goal should be putting themselves out of business. That should be their goal. And unfortunately, who wants to put themselves out of business? So they end up perpetuating the problem. While also a lot of it comes down to, you know, just a personal self righteousness that a lot of people in the West feel when they engage in these acts. And honestly, again, this is not a sweeping indictment, because I do know there are some people who are engaged in their hearts are in the right place. However, if you've been operating a charity for the last 30 years, something's wrong.
Yeah, Yeah, well, I agree with you, and I just want to make a note about people's self-righteousness. I have an issue, and I'm a bit of a nationalist, I mean, in terms of America, that I see a lot of stars going outside the country. I have no problem with helping Africa. I'm African, you know what I'm saying? But I'm like, why do you all of a sudden wake up this morning and say, you know what, I need to go to Ethiopia, I need to go to Nigeria, I need to go to Ghana, wherever I need to go, but I can't go to my neighborhood. I have a problem with that. You know?
Exactly, because it's not sexy to be in Detroit saying, look
right.
at how many people yeah. cannot feed themselves, look at how many people
yeah.
are getting evicted from their homes, look at how many homeless people we have here. It's not sexy.
Exactly.
I mean, but again, it is sexy to go to Darfur and so on and so
mm-hmm.
forth. But again, it's that the reason why it's critical for Africans to speak for themselves and on these issues is that then you strip that power away from people who engage in these for the attention. And for the, you know, look at this guy, look at the great things he's doing. But like you said, these problems are widespread and literally in people's backyards.
Definitely. Well, I want to play a song from your first album, Stereotype. This is Ghetto Plantation.
Yo, incarceration is the new plantation, a new kind of slavery, a new foundation, and it wouldn't even cost you much. The project is a slave ship, the corner is the auction block. Police officers enlisting to oversee us. We victims of a crooked system that's meant to defeat us. Get rich, some snakes, and it's just the start. Our forefathers sold off their own flesh and blood. We on the bus up north, of course, it's the middle passage. Or else you think they're shackling chainers and call them savage. State penitentiary, century slave quarters. Warden is the master, the fortune to take orders. And they call it solitary confinement.
Well, if you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with Blitz the Ambassador, and that was Ghetto Plantation from his first album, Stereotype. The call-in number is 646-929-0368. So you're very political in your music, so I don't want to have a whole political conversation, but I think it's important, the topics that you bring up. And also we talk about the types of music that you blend with the hip-hop. Let's talk about the prison industrial complex here in America. I had Michelle Alexander, she wrote the book The New Jim Crow, on, and also Dr. Khalil Gibran Muhammad from the Schomburg Center on, talking about crime, blackness, and statistics. This is a serious problem here. It is a new plantation. And what do you think, as Americans, we can do about this? Is there a solution, or are we fighting an uphill battle? What is your opinion about that?
Well, first I'll talk about why I choose to speak on certain issues. You know, in coming to this country as an immigrant, you know, it's really baffling because there's a viewpoint of America outside of America that is, you know, you kind of grow up with. And then when you arrive here, and this probably happens to almost every immigrant, you realize that, well, it's definitely more layers than you assume there are here.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that hits me is just the imbalance, you know, in whether resource-wise or just, you know, just the systems, the institutions that have kind of have been put up to keep certain people out of, you know, the upward mobility. And you know, for me, again, moving to America, living in New York, it just kind of seeing certain things and how certain things operate, you know, I had to write a song about that. But, I mean, a lot of times too, what I do is try to speak on things that people outside, especially where I'm from, back in Ghana, may not, you know, catch on the news, you understand? Like certain things you don't get as part of the news bulletin, you know, because a lot of the news that's coming and being exported is, you know, it just tells one side of the story. So the criminalization,
right.
for instance, of young people of color is something that, you know, we all grow up around, and, you know, your aunties will say, you know, stay away from these thugs when you come here, you know. But because it's real, you know, but unfortunately they're only getting a piece of the picture that is unfair. So the questions become, why are so many people engaged in you know, whether negative behavior, what are the kinds of laws that are being enforced in certain communities and not enforced in certain communities? And some of these things become, you know, for me as an artist and as a writer, for me it's always about looking at the environment. I mean, yes, I should talk about the issues that plague Africa and plague where I'm from, and also talk about the merits of where I'm from. But also, I also have been you know, I've grown up to understand that, you know, the issues as far as the black diaspora, whether it's in the Caribbean, whether it's in America, whether it's in Europe,
right,
or whether it's in Africa, are all interconnected. So if you understand the issues that plague people in Africa, you'll understand a little better how they plague people in the Caribbean or how they plague people in America. And so I kind of choose certain topics that may not be deemed sexy and you probably wouldn't hear on most hip-hop records, even for people who are from America. But I feel it necessary to kind of mix it all up so it's all part of the global conversation. You really cannot have a conversation and just kind of narrow it down and just focus on a small segment. It is kind of a global issue.
Oh, definitely. I mean, things in life are multifaceted. Also, you have to think about the context of things and behaviors and rules and regulations. What context are they happening in? And that can give you some insight as to maybe how to challenge them or fight against them. But I think globally thinking is always the key, because then you realize I'm not alone in this. This is not an isolated problem. And that it's happened for thousands and thousands. Like, it's not new. Don't make them, you know, think that this is a new problem we're having. It's not new. It's either been building over thousands of years or people have been brainwashed over thousands of years. So I think the global mindset is really key. Now, you also talk about love. Let's lighten this up a little bit. You talked about, you know, debt and poverty and charity and all this stuff and prison. Let's talk about a little love. I want to play Accra Blues from your album Native Son.
I'm reminiscing, listening to songs we used to share. Sade's Lovers Deluxe got me lost in despair. My thoughts are unclear, all because you ain't here. But yeah, all she left was a Polaroid picture. The memories of all the things you gotta take with you. On stage, getting live with the embassy crew. My heart's trapped from both sides, like parentheses do. But at the end of the day, pride won't allow pity. You never felt the blues quite like a cry city. So chale, remember what I'm telling you now. Love is really hard. Hard to find in this town to hold it down.
Ooh, I cry city blues. Oh, she left is you.
Didn't your granny tell you women are stressful, man? You know, that you gotta stay away, man. Watch it. Watch it. Especially those American women, you know. But seriously, seriously though, what is your family or people tell you, like, about American women? I don't want to get you in trouble, but, you know, there are stereotypes, I'm sure, of women. What did you learn? And then when you came to America, what did you unlearn? Let's put it that way.
Well, I mean, yes, there are the stereotypes that exist, but again, I mean, for me, I've learned to deal with people from a personal perspective, and so honestly, you know, a lot of what I write about are, yes, kind of a mixture of a lot of different relationships, some at home, some here, the growth that exists in it, but yes, I will not speak on any stereotypes because I will get in trouble. But I will say that, you know, love is something that you cannot leave out. I mean, you, as a writer, as you know, as somebody who is connected to just what's going on in the world, I mean, love is a major piece of who we are as people. And so it helps keep you balanced as far as what, you know, what relationships you're in and while dealing with the issues in life. And this is a very, you know, it is a very universal thing. So I try to make sure that it's part of the cipher. And at the end of the day, I really write out of love, whether it's love for, you know, for my people, whether it's love for the struggle, whether it's love for a person, a circumstance, an issue. You know, I definitely try to keep it. But also, I didn't answer your question as far as just the music and kind of, you know, how I go about it. You know, growing up in a place.
Yeah, because I think that's important. That's important. I mean, you have so many layers. I was mentioning earlier, like flute entries and the Spanish guitar. You talk about dropping Miles in there. You got a nice horn segment in one of the songs. I mean, Selah, definitely the horns and Selah. I mean, I visualize all that. So, yeah, talk to me about your choice of entries and openings to your songs and exits, so to speak, that you have. How do you decide on what goes where?
Yeah, well, first it's like all from my influence as a fan of music. You know, I was fortunate to grow up in a place like Ghana where music is really like part of our everyday life, you know, whether it's at wakes, whether it's at outdoorings, whether it's at weddings, there's always some kind of live band, there's always some kind of, you know, some drummers, there's always some dancing. So, you know, this is something that was always natural for me. As far as when I started delving into hip-hop music, I really recognized that hip-hop was kind of stuck in this loop that generally most songs would just be in. So it would be a four-bar loop, and then they'll just keep it there. And, you know, I always wondered, like, you know, if Fela was a hip-hop artist, you know, what would, you know, will he not?
Fela was a modern-day hip-hop. He was like a hip-hop artist in a sense.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know, for his time and people.
Absolutely.
You know, his music was like the hip-hop of what, you know, today. So, I mean, that's my opinion.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm saying if he was using the boom bap, you know, as his.
Right.
As his basis, you know, how would he influence it? If Bob was using the boom bap as his basis, what would he do to spice it up? And that's kind of has always been my mental. But I also learned that, you know, my experiences in America, I've lived here for over 11 years now, and my experiences in Ghana, where I lived before I came here, kind of have naturally melded, and they've kind of found a way to kind of coexist. So what I'm writing, I don't necessarily think, oh, where does the African part come in and where does the hip-hop stop? You know, it's just kind of, it finds its way natural to just kind of melt into this thing that's its own thing, which, you know, when I started making music, that was a very difficult thing because not everybody understood those choices that I was making. Fortunately, with music becoming more global and with things like the iPods and such, you know, people's collection of music has grown past kind of what their genres were destined to be, which,
yeah,
you know, it was if you were a white suburban, you probably would be a rock fan. If you were from the quote-unquote inner city, you were probably going to be a hip-hop fan. Like, those things have kind of changed. I mean, you have kids who, you know, are living in the so-called inner city, and they are, like, the biggest, like, Led Zeppelin fans, you know? So we've moved past that, and so it's been easier for me to create music that is a lot more broader, and I can just represent who I am, and I'm finding people who are staunch Pete Rock, Run DMC fans, but also Fela or Tony Allen fans, you know, so it's easy for them to understand and get what I'm trying to do, and so that's a big blessing.
Well, I told you, I'm not bored with your music, and that, for me, is key, because I listen to all types of music. I had on here. I know you worked with her. I've had Naka on here. I've had Les Nubians on here. I had Io on here. I've had people from the Netherlands. I've had Brazilian music. I grew up with musicians and jazz. I have a lot of jazz musicians in my family. I have people. I used to play the flute, so when I heard the flute, I was like, oh, the flute, you know, and the intro, the song. I was like, yay. So, I mean, that's what I love about your music is the variety, because I get bored so easily that if you're just doing the same old, I'm like, nah, okay, change the channel. I'll check the thing on iTunes, and I'll just keep moving. But with variety, I don't know what to expect. So, like, with your music, the intro is one thing, the middle is another, then the end is like something, oh, whoa, what you brought in? Oh, boy, you know. So, and also, like, your references and giving shout-outs to the greats, you know, Hugh Masekela and Fela and Miles Davis and Basquiat and, you know, Muhammad Ali. I love that. You know, to me, again, I'm not bored, you know. Let me play Akwaba. That's from your album, Native Son, for the audience, okay?
Yep.
Well, if you're just tuning in, that was Akwaba from Native Son by Blitz the Ambassador. Call in 646-929-0368. We're having a great conversation here. Now, What does akwaba mean? I think I know what it means, but you tell me if I'm correct. Welcome?
Yes, akwaba means welcome. And if you arrive in Accra, Ghana, that's probably one of the first things you will see is akwaba. And it would be even better if they got the song to play at the airport, but I'm still working on that.
No, you're working on that, okay.
I'm working on that. But, akwaba means welcome, and for me it's really important that, you know, I represent who I am and where I'm from. This was one of the singles from the album, and it really spoke to just, again, the versatility that I believe that every artist should have, and those who some people do but are afraid to share. And it's something that I've as in time I've grown to accept more, that the world is expanding and you're free to be as many things as you want to be, as opposed to just this one little box that we're all supposed to fit in.
Yeah, definitely. No need to fit in a box. I mean, first of all, your record sales will probably go down. So now, talking about records, I heard you're doing something called Griot. Is that true? Are you coming out working on something else?
I'm working on a new album called Afropolitan Dreams.
Afropolitan Dreams,
yes,
okay.
Afropolitan Dreams is the title of the album. I'd begun the idea of making a record called Griot, and I ended up not going that direction because I realized that it would be going backwards for me as opposed to moving forward. Like Native Son was like my story, or like the story of a lot of us, you know, coming from Africa to America. And then, but the story never ends there. The story is going from America to the rest of the world. You know, that's kind of where I find myself now, touring almost 7 months out of the year, playing in South America, playing Asia, playing in Europe, Africa a lot. And so that journey, how does that affect your life as an artist when you have arrived at this place that you've always wanted to be, your springboard, but then you realize that it's not all that it's cracked up to be, and you still have to eat because you can't go home with your 10 fingers. So that's kind of the, you know, what this new album, Afropolitan Dreams, is about.
Well, I can't wait till the new album comes out. I'm going to be giving away some copies of your album. So if people want to win, they better follow me at Joy Keys on Twitter or become a fan on Facebook. Also, check out Blitz's page, Blitz the Ambassador. It's blitz.mvmt.com. Again, blitz.mvmt.com. Check them out. And you said you're going to be coming to the Apollo next month?
I'm performing at the Apollo. It's part of a World Music Institute event series called Africa Now. And, you know, you always hear this, Africa is the future, Africa is the future. And that's great, but, you know, there's Africa happening right now. That's going to affect the future. And I'm blessed to be a part of it myself in NECA. It's a band from South Africa called Freshly Ground, where, you know, participating in this event and really, like, showing the richness of African sound today and hopefully how that's going to affect all of us in the future. So, yes, it's March 16th.
Okay,
it's March 16th at the Apollo.
Awesome. So what time is that? Is that like 8, 9 o'clock?
It's 8 p.m., yes, I believe, and tickets are available online. So if you go to theapollotheater.com, you can find tickets.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Oh, wait. I need to tell you thank you in Twi, right?
Let's try that.
Okay, Medawasi?
Medawasi, yes, you got it.
Medawasi, okay.
Medawasi, yeah, you got it.
All right. Well, thank you in English.
Yes.
And you have a wonderful evening and a great show next month, and you got to come back on when you do your next album so we can talk about that, all right?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Okay, you have a blessed evening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Just got off the phone with Blitz the Ambassador. Check out his latest album, Native Son. Follow me at Joy Keys on Twitter. Follow him at Blitz the Ambassador on Twitter. Also, check out his webpage, blitz.mvmt.com. Again, blitz.mvmt.com. This is The Best I Can from Native Son by Blitz the Ambassador. Have a great evening.
woman, you wonder what they call me, ambassador for the red, gold, green, black star, is that raw across the continent, I know they're pumping it, an old wise man once told me something like, OBO, papa, nephew, nakumim, I will be back a while, near through to them, kaisa, what's up, I'm from the Bakri, Chia, not brought from Bastor, messing with rapper, the international vocabulary, you need subtitles, holler at me, this the future, we salute ya, we'll see if you saw him, I skin up a lot, kooty, blitzes, bridging the gap, want you to listen to rap, playing a gym with a fedora, yo, the breath of fresh air you waited for, not the same old suckers on the radio, yo, they need to get the weight up, no pun intended. I don't even check for haters, I'm above the standard. Miles Davis played the bitches brew to get us through. I'ma get the business too. Show the whole wide world how far we came. Spit, spit, cause I'm African. What?
How you need voices?